up there we'll start. Until now we're in the middle of the concept of Eretz Yisrael being a morasha, Yerusha. We're on page Nun Dalid. We're in the middle of page Nun Dalid. Until now when we discussed
English,
I have no idea in English. Okay, and we discussed the idea that just like remember he's making just in the broad in the broader context, the comparison between the fact that Eretz Yisrael is a Yerusha and Torah is a Morasha. Both are considered Morasha. And then we're going to talk about what the notion of this, of it means to have each one be an inheritance. What does that mean that it's an inheritance? So now we're on to the notion of Eretz Yisrael. We talk about the idea of the Torah being Yerusha, that without a person, that a person would lose, could possibly question the giving of the Torah if it weren't inherited. That's ringing a bell, I hope. Ringing a bell? Sort of. Okay. Just bringing you back. And last week we began the idea that the land of Israel is also a Yerusha. We spoke about the ministering angels. We spoke about the unique relationship that God has with Eretz Yisrael. And then we also spoke about the fact that Avraham Avinu was Moser Nefesh. He sacrificed himself. And therefore God said, you're the guy. Brought him to Eretz Canaan. Brought him to Eretz Yisrael. And said, you're going to get the land of Israel. And he gave it to him as a Yerusha. Okay, why did he give it as a Yerusha? The reason is because when you give it as a Yerusha, then nobody can claim that it's not yours. Because if it's a purchase, or you can unpurchase it, if it's a sale, you can unsell, you can buy it from somebody else, you can give it to somebody else, it can be conquered. But it's an inheritance, even if somebody takes it from you, it still belongs to you.
Well, okay. That's what, you know, you could, you buy it, and then you yourish it.
You're inheriting. Yeah. Well, but if you could claim that purchase was a faulty purchase, you don't have the right to buy it, you didn't buy it properly.
Avram buys Hebron.
Right. Excellent example. And what happened with it? Yeah, what, you know, we're still wondering about that. You know, it's not, that didn't do well for us. Okay, so we're in the middle of Nun Dalid. We're in the middle of Nun Dalid. We're going to continue with this idea. Ayin b'sefer hakadosh netzach Yisrael. Thank you. L'hachoker ha'eloki Rabbeinu Maharal miprag. Okay, the wondrous, mystical, spiritual rabbi of the Maharal of Prague, Shekatab, he says. Shateva hu hachazak shebekochot. Nature is the most powerful of forces. Umitgaber al hakol. And it overtakes everything. Vozet shalov eino miniach l'shum moneh limnoa oto mipulato ativit. It's really true. Right? If you leave nature to its course, nature will eventually bring everything back to its natural state. Its natural equilibrium. Right, and some things it'll take longer, some things it'll take shorter, but in the end, nature is a very, very powerful force. And even if something happens to withstand, to withhold, to hold nature back from its natural act, it's only temporary, not forever, not unlimited. Nature will overcome this detractor, and it will overcome it and remove it from its path. Right? You know, it's like those guys who they build a house on the beach, and sooner or later, you know, the tide comes in and wipes the house out. So what do? They build a house on the beach again. You know, and they wonder, I don't understand, why is my house, you know, it's like all those people that build their houses in the middle of forests, and then they're upset, and they wonder why when there's a forest fire, does the fire department not come and put out the forest fire? You know, but you did build your house in the middle of the forest. It's a good point. Okay. V'chein hu gam ken, v'shaychut shalanu le'eretz Yisrael. This is also our relevance to Eretz Yisrael. Anu yecholim liyod bituchim, she'eretz Yisrael tashuv elenu be'ezer haborei. We can be certain that the land will return to us. Yan ki ken hateva borei olam, hitbia borei olam, hateva haolam, shia lechal am va'am eretz noshavet lidor v'leshuv ba. V'kulam yu nasafim v'gutzabim ba'aretz v'lo yu mufuzarim forim ba'lo olam. Okay, see, because God, he made a natural order. Every country, every nation has its own country, and they're not going to be spread out. V'chein hayagam etzleinu. The same is true for us. God chose the land of Israel as our land to dwell in. And when we were spread out and dispersed, that was unnatural. If so, ma'amara galuti mini alipulata tevashit biyar kodesh baruch ba'olamo. It's unnatural for us to be in the galut. She'alechol am va'am eretz miyuchedet le'sheva leha. Therefore, al kein hakadosh baruch hu amani olamo v'noten po koach b'tevashit opulato b'limafriyav. God wants, He wants nature to function without impediment. Yilgalgel adavar b'kamal gilgulim. He will make it, legalgel means come around through a few turns, become a minesibot, and suffer through some reasons. Achar tzeinu akadoshah tashuv eleinu, until our Holy Land returns to us. Va'anachnu elea kabarishona, and we return to it. V'tusar ha-meni'ah, meni'at ha-galut sh'mana'u tanu mileshebar tzeinu, and this thing that held us back, this impediment will be removed. Sh'natan lana kodesh baruch hu me'rosh. Okay, so it's so interesting. I mean, it's very interesting, like the perspective that he looks at, the Maharal takes, is the idea that the Bnei Yisrael, we all fight not to eat it, and then, you know, like, whatever. The Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael are almost like, they're like a natural fit together. You know what I'm saying? You don't normally think about, like, you think about like a genetic code, in a sense. That we naturally, just like, you know, the tide rises and falls, and the land, the water belongs in the sea. You know what I'm saying? And naturally, we belong in Eretz Yisrael. Like, gravity does its force, does its work, and eventually will pull us back, as it were, push us back into Eretz Yisrael. Somehow, God makes it happen.
Is there any connection with the fact that we are created from the earth?
All men are created from the earth.
From dust to dust.
All men are created from the earth.
Okay.
Why are the Jewish people specifically drawn towards Eretz Yisrael?
We were talking about the 70 Tsars last week, that maybe there's a very distinct connection between land and human beings. Not animals.
All human beings.
He says that each
country, each nation has a connection to its land. And we have a connection to our land.
No, but so, I'm saying from the land itself, because we're created from...
From the earth itself? I don't think that's what he's saying. I think he's saying a specific geographical location. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like, you know, like you ever see one of those pendulums in the museum that keeps swinging, but it takes a long time, and eventually gravity does its work. It says we are...
Although you're saying everything goes back to nature.
Yeah, well, he says...
So we start from nature.
What's interesting is... No, but I'm saying, think about it not in terms of physical nature, but in terms of metaphysical nature. That our nature and the land of Israel's nature are mutually attractive. Somehow we are pulled towards Eretz Yisrael. And God makes it as such.
Greater than that. Yeah, we start from the earth. We're created from the earth.
Yeah, but every human being is created from the earth.
Okay,
why would that be a distinction of nation over nation?
No, it's not. But there's something fundamental between...
Maybe, I don't see it.
We just happen to have a...
I don't see it here. I don't see it. I just find it very like it's almost like an idea you have to wrap your head around. That what do you mean that the Jewish people have a natural connection? But this is the terminology that's worth being aware of. Speaking about this idea of Bnei Yisrael having a natural spiritual affinity, almost like, you know what I'm saying, like a spouse
magnetism.
In a sense. What?
Magnetism.
Yeah, like a magnetism. Like you fit. We belong there, and we're eventually going to be, we're pulled back here. You know,
every Jew feels connected to Israel, even if they don't live in Israel.
Here's the question. Well, first of all, that's not true. You think every Jew feels connected?
Okay. Every Jew is a strong word, but most Jews and Hazaras feel they have a spiritual connection with Israel. That doesn't mean
only in 2011.
What?
Most Jews feel they have a spiritual connection with Israel?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Jews might have done it.
Yeah? Secular Jews feel
that?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The question is, why is that? Is it because
they've been educated,
right,
to be taught that
Jewish? That is our homeland. I need to have something. It's not Ireland. It's not Germany. You know, Israel. Or is it because, like as we're reading, that there's something like hoogie boogie, like that connects them?
I don't know if I would articulate it in such an eloquent fashion.
Well, you know, I'll think of anything.
You know what I'm saying?
Like the Federation and whatever, blah blah blah, and all these different things in Chutzlar. It's like, is that why the people feel connection to Israel, or is there a deeper reason that people just, I don't know.
I hear the new articles I read. It says that people are becoming less and less connected to Israel.
Lowering.
Really? All right, good. I'm glad.
maybe they don't like support UJA as much as they used to, but I think when it comes right down to it, they feel a connection.
What he feels proud in that
How would that? How does that manifest?
Where
do
they wear that pin?
Amaral's approach was ever to talk about the state of Israel.
No, he's talking about Eretz Yisrael. We are in exile, and we can't go inherit take our inheritance. Who can gamkin davar haomei neged pulat tatava? This is unnatural. Okay, lo ya'amod la'ad matzav zeh. This will not continue forever. Vashemit barach yisavev sibot v'yigalgel gilulim ba'ofen b'toch ofen. God will make it happen one way into another way. Ad sheyigalgelu advarim shenachzor yirushateinu v'nashuv la'artein ha'kadosha. Right, until the things happen that cause us to return to our holy land. These are the things that the Maharal wrote in his book Netzach Yisrael. Maharal lived in the 1500s. So, I mean, like, he was stating it as metaphysical fact. We're reading it as historical fact. And that's Rav Tarta, when he was quoting it, he didn't know what was going to happen. Meaning the idea that even in the midst of the Holocaust, the idea that, yes, some Jews had returned to Israel, but the idea that masses of Jews would return, that Jewish control would return during the height of Nazi Germany, it was unthinkable. You know what I'm saying? So even in his context, the idea that he'd be quoting this and he'd be hopeful about it and say with a certain level of assuredness, I think is almost prophetic. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, when things don't go our way and, like, you know, the Madad is down, we get all depressed. And here he is. He's telling you, listen, I'm just telling you, I know, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know where it's going to happen, but I can tell you somehow, just the language he writes, Yisavev sibot, v'yagalgel gilgulim, right? He'll causes, and how does he translate galgel, like, make turn among turns? I don't even know how he translates it. Galgalim are wheels, right? Causes the wheels of history, v'ofen b'toch ofen, somehow or other, right? We're going to go with it. We're getting back. And what happens? That's exactly what happened.
It shows up in Ishul, actually.
It shows up in?
In the inscriptions of Ishul.
Yeah?
The inscriptions of Ishul are...
Of Ishul?
Yeah.
Where?
In Altman Ishul.
Really? Oh, the Maral Ishul. The Maral
Ishul. There's an inscription there that you don't see in any other Ishul in the area.
Do you remember it?
It's just over the door.
Yeah.
You walk over the door, the first thing you see when you walk in is the door below. And you have to look up. There's a couple inscriptions on the wall. And most of the inscriptions in that area basically relate to Brich Shemei or some other pasuk from Tehillim, and the pasuk that shows up over the door as soon as you walk in and look up is Ki Bachar Hashem B'Tzion Yivale Moshav Lo.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with that. Al Kol Panim. Nonetheless, now we're going to switch back topics. So remember we said it's a Yerusha. Right? What's the benefit of a Yerusha? Of an inheritance?
Can't get rid of it.
What? Can't get rid of it. There's only one problem. What's the problem?
Can't get rid of it.
Well... You have a problem if you can't get rid of a Yerusha.
If you're bad and you get kicked out.
Yeah, right. If it's a Yerusha, how could we have gotten kicked out if it's ours and nobody can take it away from us? And how is it that we lost the land? So this is what he has to deal with. Al-Kopanim. Kol ta'anotav al-Eretz Yisrael. All of our claims to the land of Israel. It's an inheritance. Beram, and this is a big however. Sarich lahodia, dikamod manat eretz Yisrael la'Avraham avinu haya mimenu yitbarach nebe unadavar la'Avraham. It was a gift to Abraham. It was a pledge to Abraham. Avor shemasar atzmo achidush shemo yitbarach, because he sacrificed himself for God. Kmo sheveti la'el, kmo ken Yerusha zu. Similarly, this inheritance she'anu rotim lachzik ba mikoach Yerushatenu, we want to hold on to it out of an inheritance. Gam ken kshura b'tenai ze. There's that word. It's connected, it's tied into this condition. Im anu ochzin, no. Im anu ochzin b'ma'asei avutenu lalech b'derchem k'mo shahalchuhem. If we follow in our forefathers' path, azai anu b'nehem v'ru'im liyerusha. Then we're children, and we are worthwhile to inherit. You're already making a face. Aval im chas v'shalom anu notim b'derchem. But if we sway, if we deviate from their path, Azai ein lanu chilek biyusha hazat. So basically, he says the following.
No, that's the Rambam, basically.
What?
That's what the Rambam says. I mean, basically, he says, like, you know, it comes to you if you behave.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly the answer. Meaning, all the Torah says it. The Torah says you can have this land, If you behave, if you worship God. If you don't worship God, I mean, it's in Shema.
Yeah,
you're gone, right. The land will spit you out. Rav Teichel has a problem, though. If it's a Yerusha, then why would the land spit you out? I inherit it. It's mine. How can you take it away? He says, yeah. What? You think so?
Yeah.
He says, no. He says, if you act like a child, then you get the Yerusha. If you don't act like a child, then God writes you out of the will. You like that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's what, I mean, I don't.
I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's just...
show and tell.
It's like he wants to have it both ways. On the one hand, it's Yerusha. It's unassailable. It's unarguable. But on the other hand, it's so unarguable that you have to act a certain way.
It's like an escrow. It's like in a trust fund, and you kind of
right. Get to it. Right. If you behave properly, if you fulfill the wishes of the grandmother.
You're part of the program right now. This has always bothered me, but I guess we have this halacha, right, that when you daven Shmoneh Esrei, you have to have kavanah in the first bracha.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, you have all these things that you're asking for, like refuah and whatever, and geula, and all the important things.
Right.
And what you have to have kavana on is that you're elokeinu v'elokei avoteinu elokei avraham elokei yitzchak, blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, if you read Rav Teichel, it's basically, it's not that, like, please God, remember that I'm part of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's like, this is what the whole plan is all about. Either you're on the path or you're not on the path. It's basically what he's saying. And, you know, that's like determines, like, the rest is history, sort of. The rest is like all details.
Yeah, but he'd be saying you have to fulfill the condition. Let's read on. Humigram furash. It's an explicit pasuk. Vatera Sarai ben Hagar mitzvit mitzachek. So Sarah saw Yishmael, the son of Hagar, mitzachek, scoffing, whatever that means. It means a lot of different things. The Midrash says it means either he was fooling around. Some Midrash says he was Ovid of Vodah Zara. Some Midrash say that, whatever, he was bad. Rav Chazal Muvav Rashi Shiyatza Tarbut Ra'a. Right, the kid went off the derech. Okay? Vatomer la Avraham, and she said to Abraham, Garesh et ha'ama hazot ve'et bina, ki lo yirash ben ha'ama hazot im bini Yitzhak. This kid is gone. I do not want him inheriting with my son, with Yitzhak. Harei mebefurash, explicitly, yan shiyatza Yishmael letarbut ra'a, since he went out for bad, ein lo chelik yirushat aviv, he has no inheritance in his father's Yerusha. V'gam iskim adato shel Hashem yitzbarach ledabrei Sarah. God agreed too. Right, and it's like the pasuk says, Avram was very upset. God said, "Don't be upset. Why? Call Asher Tomar Elecha Sarah Shema Bekola." We've never lived this pasuk down. Ki beYitzchak Yikarei Lecha Zera. Right, whatever Sarah says, you do, because Yitzchak is going to inherit you. So he says, "Uben Midrash Amru Alzeh," and the Midrash says, I'm Rav Yudan, Yitzchak en Ketiv. It doesn't say, ki Yitzchak yikarei lecha Zerah, ela, ki be Yitzchak. What's be? Bet. What's bet? Train. Two. What are the two? Be mishu modeh b'shne olamot. Right? Why is Yitzchak the one to inherit? Why is Yitzchak the one to get Eretz Canaan? Because he believes in olam hazeh and olam haba. Kol mishu modeh b'shne olamot yikarei lecha Zerah. B'chol mishu eno modeh b'shne olamot. Lo yikarei lecha Zerah. If you believe in Olam Haba, you are Zerah Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. If you don't believe in Olam Haba,
you're out.
That's it.
Does that help explain?
What?
Does that help explain why the word Morasha as opposed to Yerusha is used? Morasha is an active term.
Ooh. Could be. Although the Torah is the same way. Here's my problem with his analogy. Remember exactly the point. He goes, the Rav Teichel said the same thing about the Torah. But nowhere is he going to say, well, if you keep the Torah, then you get to be, you get to have the Torah. But if you don't keep the Torah, then you don't have to have the Torah. It's not yours.
Well, isn't it?
He doesn't say that, does he?
Isn't it obvious though? If you don't keep the Torah, right, you're not part of the program.
Then what? Then you're written out.
You're in trouble. I mean, you're.
Yeah, but he says if you don't keep the Torah,
doesn't mean that you're out.
If he doesn't keep the Torah,
you're out, you never can come back in. But for right now, you're out.
He says if you don't keep the Torah, you don't get Eretz Yisrael.
For right now, again.
So what's the condition So therefore, Yerusha
level of fluidity.
Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael is conditional.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. I mean,
is Yerusha of the Torah conditional?
Can we compare before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah? I mean, you know, Esav got kicked out, and but once we got the Torah, then we're all in.
So you're questioning Rav Teich, though? Which I am too. So don't.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I mean
right.
The proof out, of, but once we're in, we're all in.
The bracha yeah. of Eretz Yisrael is much different, though. There's other people who have lived here and never saw the bracha from the land.
Right.
Comes is the Arzi Tempiria, Mitani Bula.
Okay.
But that you can have even if you're in the land of Israel and not listening to it, and you're still not going to get a little bracha. That's where the.
But isn't that extra? Isn't that extra? That's like you have Israel and you also enjoy it. Like he's not talking about like enjoying it. He's talking about like either you have it or you don't have it.
It just seems, I mean, I understand why he's saying what he's saying, because you have to fit into your theology. You know what I'm saying? But once you say that we get the land no matter what, you have to explain, well, like, why is it conditional?
And there are two, we talked about this before, I think, like maybe 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's like two approaches, at least there are many approaches, I'm sure, but there's two that I'm aware of. To understanding, like, what does it mean to, like, the Jew who's not religious? Like, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, basically, the Kudari says, like, everybody at Har Sinai gets, like, this, like, zets of, like, jujus.
Yes.
And, like, you're in it. You know, there's nothing you can do. You can't get out of it. It doesn't matter how unfirm you are. Somehow there's, like, this little spark there, and you just have to, you know, you're in. And that's how he explains also, like, converts, like, get it when they convert, whatever. And the Rambam seems to say that, no, listen, like, you have to follow the rules. You don't follow the rules, so if you don't follow the rules, you can't be part of it.
In the Rambam, there's a piece in the Rambam that alludes to that.
You can't be really part of the play. And here, he seems to be following more of that, you know, it's a conditional thing. Doesn't mean that you're out forever, or that, I mean, like, how, like, that's, explain, like, in history.
I could say one
thing. Jews were in Israel, right? And then they did things that were bad, and the God destroyed the temple, and he tossed them out. Everybody out of the pool, right? And then at some point we clearly deserved to come back on some level, and here we are.
His argument earlier was
yeah.
that because it's a Marsha Yerusha,
yeah.
then there's no argument against it.
Correct.
There's no intellectual argument.
You can never take it away.
It.
Can't take it away. It's unremovable.
But now we're
saying, the exact opposite.
Conditional.
Correct.
So the Goyim can easily say, well, you're not doing what you're doing.
I agree with you. I'm pointing out that it's not an exact analogy. It's okay. Right. Not an exact analogy. Yeah, nobody ever died for the lack of technology. Let's move on. Harei b'feirush. Explicitly, demisha eino mode b'shnei olamot. If you don't believe in these two olamot, eino karoi zera Avraham, ve'eino yirei b'yirusha zot, and you're not worthy of this Yerusha. Which is, I must say, it's on some levels harsher than you'd think he'd write. Because that means that someone who is not a Yerei Shemaim, someone who does not believe in the Torah and believe in the message of the Torah, he doesn't deserve this land.
Does it necessarily mean that you have to be interested in the Torah, or you have to believe? You have to believe that you're like the children of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
No, modeh b'shnei olamot. You believe in olam hazeh,
yeah,
olam haba.
Yeah, I believe, I don't know, I can't help it, I can't keep Shabbos.
Oh, that's very different.
Yeah.
That's very, we're not talking about that guy. That's a guy who, fine, I can't help it. We're talking about, but most people...
But that's like...
I don't think... If you'd ask most people, do you believe in... Well, I don't know. You'd ask them. Do you believe in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba? Do you believe in the world to come? Ari, how are we doing at your office? Ask guys in your office.
Before the vodka or after the vodka?
Do you believe in the world to come? Do you believe there's an afterlife?
I think a lot of
people. Yeah, I think so, too. Right? This is explained. Eishin kibi yisak v'elich azera milashon v'yikarei behem shemi v'shem avotai v'sh'amar liyakov. They will be called upon my name. Ratzon lomar... Davka zera kazeh, specifically these kinds of offspring, she'ochzin b'maseh avotehem, who follow in the acts of their forefathers, she'dvada ha'av, so that the father will be known, v'titparsem chasidutav, and his righteousness will be spread, v'titkata yidei b'no alich v'darchav, zekare ben. What's a child? Child is when you look at that kid and say, oh, right? That's a lev. Oh, beautiful. Because that child acts like a father. That's a wonderful. Okay? Right? So it's the same thing about us. When do we get the land? When the people look at us and we act like children. God said, Yishmael isn't going to do the job. He's not going to get it done. He's not going to bring glory to you. He's not worthy of being called the son of Abraham. Your righteousness will come out through your righteous child. This is what it means, Yikare. And they shall be called upon my name, Kolomar. Yit parse v'yit vada b'hem. I shall become famous and well known by them. Ad kan dvar v'kadoshim divrei pi chacham chayim. Beautiful, wonderful, very nice. We're going to skip to the next page.
Who said this? Who is he quoting here?
He says it's the name of the Rambam. The Yikare of the Rambam, the Nigeret Kaman. Okay? Divrei pi chacham chayim. Skip to the next page. Hooray. Okay, he brings another proof. He says, that explains, just like, I'll paraphrase, he says, that explains why Abraham, how could Abraham send Ishmael away with nothing? Abraham is, you know, he's a rich man. He sends Ishmael, like, you know, on Hagar's back with nothing, no money, no food, no whatever, you know, the day's worth of food. He says, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do. He said to write him out of the will. When he reads, write him out of the will, you write him out of the will, l'chalutin, whatever God says to do, that's what you do. Okay, hooray. It's almost like he didn't consider him like a son. By the way, I mean, it's a little bit different than we kind of look at things now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a very, how should we say this? Haredi attitude. Especially in the European Haredi attitude. What happens when your child goes off the derech? So the child abandons with a generosity, so then you write, like, it's like, you're dead to me. What?
I'm sorry. The jazz singer.
The jazz singer? I never saw the jazz singer. He tore Korea? He tore Korea? Yeah, I mean, right.
That's right.
And that was, so what happens when your child, it's very, I think, culturally accurate. When your child abandons Yiddishkeit, so you say, I'm sorry, you're dead to me. I don't, you know what I'm saying? And so like, it's a little bit strange to us. This shot. I don't know if we would be able to say this peerish, you know, 60 years later when we don't do that. We don't encourage people to do that. We don't write people off. We just want to bring them back. Anyway, Wokane Anu. Us too.
Someone marries out. We don't.
No. You write them out?
I don't know.
When somebody marries out, you don't give them kibbutim in shul. You don't honor them as, you know, in public. But without a doubt, you would still want that person to retain his connection to Judaism. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what are his children? So either his children, her children, are either Jewish, or his children are non-Jews, but the children of a Jew.
But that's just a modern day thing,
no? Yeah. See, he's saying, when somebody marries out, we don't... I ostracize them at all. You know what I'm saying?
I have no clue what the right thing to do is, but I don't... Is it that clear-cut? That's what the... I mean, I don't know.
In the circles in which I walked... I didn't see any benefit to ostracize someone who married out, other than we wouldn't give them kibbutim.
No, I hear where you're coming from. I have no idea what the right...
Why would you want to ostracize them? So that they would never come back?
I don't know. I'm not
what?
To prevent other people from going that way.
Well, that's why you don't give them kibbutim.
Right.
Which I find...
I don't know if that's going to make someone change their mind.
Yeah. It actually was interesting.
Probably the for you.
Okay, that's it. Convince me. I mean...
So you think we should give them Aliyah Yonah show?
No, I don't know that makes
an either or.
What?
It's not tough love.
Either or.
What?
It could be an either or. If you don't ostracize them, then...
So you're saying if you don't give them Aliyah Yonah show, you should just ostracize them totally. I'm sorry,
I'm saying if you choose not to ostracize them, why wouldn't you then give them Kibbutz Yonah show?
Yeah, I mean, like...
No, because I actually think that when you give somebody a Kibbutz Yonah show, you're a Kibbutz Yonah show is meaning that this person... is an individual who is worthy of being honored and respected in the community. And somebody who married out of the faith has made the most powerful statement that he doesn't want that kind of honor in the community because it's not important to him. That's at least the way we look at it. So no, I don't think so. All right, but we far digress. Anyway. So we have to follow in our forefathers' footsteps. Shiniya ruim shikare shema malenu, that their name should be called upon us. Va'kol yakiru banu she'anachnu zera Avraham Yisrael v'Yaakov, and everyone will recognize that we are the children of Avraham. Shitparsem chasidu tamzid katama yadenu, and their righteousness should be spread up because of us. Like the Rambam said, az betach she'navo lematratenu, then we will for sure come to our goal. Then will be the children that inherit the land after them. And God will do miracles and wonders. And then the Torah will say Then the pasuk says it will be about us. Ki achrit Hashem Elokecha at goyim asher ata bashama. God will cut out the nations that are in that land via rashta, via shavta ve'avratam. So he says, it's so interesting. Rav Teichler says, if we want God to do for us like he promised he would do, then what do we have to do?
Put up our hand.
Keep the Torah.
And
if we don't follow our end, then the promises, the wondrous promises in the Torah, aren't going to happen for us. And the Midrash says, Yavo Yisrael Shebao Lechalki, let Israel come to my chelek, my portion, and let them inherit the land that is in my portion. Lekach Kiv, for this reason it says, Ki Yakrit Hashem Elokecha at Goyim, God will cut out the Goyim. Ad kan d'vavar. So Amar, meaning, Kishenihye Ochzin v'maase avotenu, when we fulfill the actions of our forefathers, Ad niye kedaim liot b'chalko shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we are worthy of being a God's portion, Az nizkeh liyirushatenu, then we will merit our inheritance. Then, v'ilu agoyim she'emadu lefaneinu la'keva, and on those nations that stand in front of us, yachrit Hashem v'liyuchulu la'keva yedenu min la'boyishvatenu, then God will just cut them out and not stop us. So that always, like, when I see this, I think there's a lot of truth to this, a tremendous amount of truth to this. Meaning, like, what protects us? What is our defense for being in the land of Israel? Why did we get here? It's impossible to know. But now that we're here, right, we believe that our merit, our right to remain in this land is dependent upon our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not just, you know, the army. We're going to get to that in a second. It's not just Tzahal. It's not just our Koach. It's not even at all that. But rather, we have some connection to this land, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be in this land, and we somehow merit it. And then it begs us, or it requires us to ask the next question, which is, are we doing our part? Are we doing what's incumbent upon us to make sure that we get to stay? You know, because if you believe that your job is to that our remaining here is dependent upon our connection to the Torah and the Jewish people, so then you better do something about it. Then, you know, Kiruv Levavot or Kiruv Torah becomes not something about, you know, saving the next generation. It becomes about self-preservation. It becomes about self-interest in a sense. And it always, and like whenever I read sections like this, it makes me wonder, like, how are we doing? Like, and in some ways we're doing unbelievably. We're doing just incredibly. Like some days I feel like so optimistic about the great things that go on in this country and like the Torah that goes on. And I love that I can turn on Radio Kol Chai even after they shut down Rosh Hashanah. Like some Sephardic rabbi is saying some Nadi Dvar Torah about, you know, Hilchot Shabbat, and you know what I'm saying? And this is on the airwaves. And then you could turn on Gali Tzal and hear the exact opposite.
You wonder. Do you think that the Haredim are like thinking to themselves like those Jews in Herzliya and like Tzfon Tel Aviv, they're going to get it.
No, I don't think they think that.
Like, based on this, it's like they're just waiting, I think they're holding up the castle.
They're dragging us down. If it weren't for them, if we somehow got to them and convinced them of the truth of the Torah.
Think that they feel that way? That they want to convince them that, or they're lost?
No, I don't think they think they're lost. There's plenty of Haredim involved in Kiruv. I think they want to preserve their way of life. But I think they want,
this is like basically the theory that supports like sitting and learning all day.
Sure.
Because like,
you don't think you should sit and learn? You don't think people should sit and learn all day? Of course. I support that theory entirely. I think that without a doubt we need people sitting and learning all day. The only question is, right, do we need everybody sit and learn all day? Some people sit and learn all day.
He's not trying to convert people. He's not trying to make people from it. He's not saying that if you keep more mitzvot, we'll get Eretz Yisrael. He's not saying we are all of these things, therefore Eretz Yisrael belongs to us.
Really? No, he's not. He's saying if we act like the children of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, then we will have the land of Israel. Yeah. If we don't act like that, then we won't.
Even if the people are from Ari, anyone who's writing a sefer is still trying to get people to improve a little bit.
You know, so I leave it as an open question. How are we doing? You know, are we doing better? Do we deserve the land? Are we helping the army guys or not really? I'm not really. It goes both ways. I guess that's an individual question that we all have to ask ourselves, I think.
It goes back to the Kavanah in the first bracha. Right?
Kavanah in the first bracha?
We were talking about before. Like, when you're sitting in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day and davening Shmoneh Esrei, right? Mm. Like, are you in the mindset of Elokeinu Elokei Avoteinu or not?
Yeah.
It's a challenge.
Yeah. All right, we have enough. Do we have any more time? There's another section. He's gonna. What time is it? Quarter two? Yeah, we got time. Okay. So we're going to do one more section, and then, a good piece. Okay, Hare, Matsinu. So he's going to quote this idea. It's a beautiful idea. I think a very powerful idea, and it's a good place to end off. Regarding the promise and the condition that God gave to Yehoshua when he first entered the land. And I think this is actually Pashup Shat. Umatsinu, on page Nun Vav. Umatsinu, we find. Shekach hitna kadosh baruch im Yehoshua tekaf betchilat kibush ha'aretz. God made this exact condition with Yehoshua before they conquered the land. Dechtiv. When he's going to quote a long section of Yehoshua. Vayhi acharei, I don't remember this from Yehoshua personally, but I learned it in fourth grade. It is the first part. Vayhi acharei Moshe, after Moshe died, Vayomer Hashem Yehoshua. So God says to Yehoshua, Vata, and now, Kuma vorat yarden ata v'chol ha'am hazeh, el ha'aretz asher anochi noten v'nei Yisrael. Go inherit this land. Chazak ve'ematz. Chazak ve'ematz, that's the basic theme of all of Sefer Devarim. Be strong and be strong. Okay? Ki ata tanchil et ha'am hazeh, et ha'aretz asher nishvati la'avotam latet lahem. Okay? You will inherit, you will be nochel, this land. You will inherit this land to the nation that I promised to give to the forefathers. Then he says, Rak chazak ve'ematz me'od. Be strong and very brave. Ematz, imutz is braveness?
Courageousness.
Lishmor la'asot k'chol ha'torah asher tzivcha Moshe Abdi. You better be very strong and brave to keep the Torah. Al tasur b'menu yaminu smol. Do not deviate, right or left. Leman taskil b'chol asher telech. So you will be intelligent with all that you go. Lo yamus tefer Torah zami picha. Do not remove this Torah from you. V'higita bo yomam v'alayla ve'az taskil. Then you will be intelligent, right? Study it day and night. Halo tziviticha, I've commanded you, chazak v'ematz. Be strong, be courageous. Al ta'arot ve'al techaz. Do not cower, do not fear. Kimcha Hashem alokeh v'chol asher telech. God will be with you. Vayetzav Yehoshua Shotei Ha'am, etc. Vatem ta'abiru chamushim lifnei amichem, acheichem, you will go be armed before your brothers, kol gibur echal, etc. Hare. Behold. Hashem itbarach tzivah Yehoshua shnei dvarim. God commanded Yehoshua two things. He said chazak v'amatz twice. Aleph. First he said, al chizuk v'imut ha'milchama. Be strong in battle. L'zarez u'lechalez giburei chayel l'lchom im ha'amim yoshvei ha'aretz. Meaning, don't be afraid. You have to fight. V'lichvosh et ha'aretz v'yadam. You have to conquer the land from them. Kasher patach b'zeh chazak v'amatz ki etat kinchil. Right? You will inherit the land. V'chein siyem b'zeh k'mo shara v'asof. Chazak v'amatz. Be strong. Al ta'arot v'al teichat. Do not be fear ki Hashem imach. But bet, the second thing is, gilgel be'emtza ha'dvarim chizuk v'imutz b'torah. Right? God brought it to the idea of chazak v'amatz, but just be strong in what? In Torah. Lishmor v'lasor kol asher tziva Moshe v'Torah HaKadosha. Okay, u'batziti and I found b'sefer Beit Elokim the Shar Chayesodot. Rabbeinu Ma'abit shamad b'zev katuv de'be'emet haya nitzrech leYehoshua lichvosh ta'aretz b'derech milchama b'derech hateva. Right, Yehoshua should have conquered the land b'derech hateva. Okay, one second. De'emet haya nitzrech. One second. Okay. Right, Yehoshua had to conquer the land. I'm going to skip a little bit. Skip the Ramban part until he says, Ad kan dvarav, over here. Skip about 15 lines. He goes into thinking about the Meraglim, blah, blah, blah. We're going to skip a little bit. Al kain, haya holechi mehem b'chayil u'b'koach. But God, so therefore it was important that for every reason Yehoshua had to conquer the land naturally. And that's a very interesting discussion of itself. Why did God want Yehoshua to conquer the land as opposed to like Yisya Mitzrayim? Aval harela kodesh baruch hu. See where I am here. Aval harela kodesh baruch hu ki ikar hatzlachato benitzachon ubikibush haaretz talui bikiyum limud haTorah umitzvoteha. But the essential victory would come not through the conquering in the physical battlefield, but through the study and the fulfillment of the Torah. Lo bekayel v'lo bekoach levad. It's not just through military force. V'lezeh aman. This is why he says. Chazak v'ematz ki ata tanchil. Kolomar, meaning, ra'oi shititchazek v'titameitz b'chayil u'b'koach. Right? Yes, you should be strong with battle. Aval ikar hitchazkut v'itamtzut yeh lishmor ha'Torah. But the essential element, the fundamental core element is the shmirat ha'mitzvot. U'lezeh amar gabei ha'Torah, and that's why it says in the Torah, about the Torah, Rak chazak ve'ematz me'od lishmor v'lasar. And if you think it's very, it's pashuk shai, if you look at the psukim, it's beautiful. Yes, God says chazak ve'ematz about the battle, don't be afraid. And then he says, rak, but chazak ve'ematz me'od. Be very, very careful that you keep the Torah. Be very strong, be very brave about keeping the Torah. Okay? Ba'chila, in the beginning, it didn't say the word rak. Kim chazak ve'ematz, great, I'll be strong. It says, the strength and the courageousness that I said before, you it'll be minor compared to the strength that you require for the Torah. Rak shehu miut. It's a the ma'at means it's an exception. But this strength is the essential element. Chazak ve'amatz ma'od. Ulegabei chizuk ha'milchama lo amar ma'od. Okay, so it's very interesting. This always makes me think about, once I was, back when I was a rabbi in Detroit, so the young Israel used to take us on these missions to Israel. So once he took us on this, it was a mission to like all these different communities. It was during the Second Intifada in the 2000s. And they took us into Gush Katif, which was rather, rather scary at the time. I was freaked out. And like, I now like, see all these people that used to live there. I mean, has anybody here been to Gush? You ever been to Gush Katif? You know, during the... No, it was like nuts. Let me show you the bullet holes and like, yeah, this is the building where they shoot from here and whatever. And they brought us to this amazing beach and they gave us lunch on this beach. And it just so happened that there were this, you know, little pluga chayalim, right, on the beach from some Hezer Yeshiva. I think it was in Karmi Yavne or something. So, of course, the guys that we said, you know, whoever can come off has to eat lunch with us. And after lunch, so one of these guys got up and gave this beautiful, beautiful Dvar Torah to this group of rabbis from America. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, this is the beauty of what Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be about. He's got this kid with his gun slung over his shoulder, and he's guarding some beach in the middle of, like, the middle of Eretz Yisrael. But at the same time, you know, you saw what was really important to him was, you know, he's a yeshiva bacher. And that is essentially what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, I believe, Yehoshua to be. He wanted to be Higita Bo Yom V'Laila, right? When you're not conquering the land of Israel, what should you be doing? You should be learning. And to understand that the two roles, they're not separate roles. They're not this person does that person does that, but that they're intertwined. And that our strength as a people and our strength as warriors and as strength as fighters stems from the Torah. I'll just mention Derech Agav. This is actually a matter of great debate in society today, in Israel today. If you recall, when Oferet Yitzuka came out, right, the Rav Tzva'i Harashi is a man named Rav Ronsky, who since then has been, how should we say this?
Ousted.
Fired, right. Why was he ousted? So they say the reason why he was ousted was because he believed very strongly that the job of a Rav Tzva'i was not just to make the food kosher and not just to do davening or whatever, but he felt that the Rav Tzva'i's job was very strongly to motivate the soldiers. And the Rabbanim Tzva'im were really mamash in the Kravi units, and they would be mechazek the strength of the soldiers. And that while this was very popular amongst most of the soldiers, you started to hear recoil, a response from the more secular elements. They even used the word jihad. Like, what are we? We're not like this. We're not fighting God's fight. And the Rabbanim would say, yes, you are. They gave people real chizuk, you know, according to the Rambam, according to the Torah. Because that was the idea of the Rabbanim. And it almost backfired on Rav Ronsky in a sense that you know, there's this backlash that the army, you know, that not everybody was really ready for it. But they say that he really affected a very strong cultural change in what the job of the Rabbanut Tzva'it really is supposed to be, which is, I think, a very good thing. But this is exactly the idea behind Yehoshua. Chazak ve'ematz, yes, you have to fight. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to conquer the land. But Rach Chazak ve'ematz, you think that you're conquering the land has anything to do with your physical prowess? Of course you have to fight. But your strength comes from your connection to the Torah. And that's what Rav Tachta was saying here about the land of Israel. You want to inherit the land of Israel? Great. But only if you act like children. Only if you act like that you deserve the inheritance. Then it belongs to you. Okay?
It's interesting that right after this in Yoshua, something he doesn't quote here, he tells Yoshua to build this, like, each Shevet, 12 of the Neve, and that this Matseva that has to be for, like, the generations to come. And basically, the idea would be that, like, this lesson that Hashem told to Yoshua has to be carried on to every generation that lives in Eretz Yisrael. This idea of learning as more, you know, as being more present. It's the next psukim after, right after.
Right. 100%. But I would say today it's a little bit different. Right? We're very good at the Torah part. But essentially the religious Jews have forgotten you also have to fight. That fighting is also part of the Torah. The Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have a strong hand.
Which is against his last sentence.
What?
Which is against his last sentence.
No, he says the Ikar. He says you need to fight.
It's against his last sentence of the paragraph.
1 second. Oh, no. Zchut haTorah she'ikar kiyuma. That one? Right, meaning how do you conquer it?
You're not going to know what to do unless you actually go through the Torah. You're not going to have the motivation.
Right, but all I'm saying, 100% the Torah is the Ikar. And I think we believe this. We believe Torah is the Ikar. The Torah is our strength. But we forgot that Jews have to fight. That I think nationally we forgot. I mean, thank God we came back to our land, but it's going to take a while till everybody remembers that the job of the Jew is not just in the Torah, but the Torah is the strength that gives everybody the power to fight.
We have to fight, like,
yeah.
They punch people in the nose?
Yes! What do you mean? You think that Yoshua conquered by, I don't know, please, people of Jericho, will you, you know, we'd like your land?
That's not an example.
What?
I mean, Yericho was conquered miraculously, right?
Yeah, how?
The walls fell down.
And then what'd they do?
And people ran away.
You mean nobody conquered anybody? Nobody killed anybody that day? No. Come on, Kibush Aris is, it's the way of the world. Yes, you have to fight. You have to defend. Would it be very nice if everybody said Kumbaya, but they ain't like that. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu said Chazak ve'amatz. He did say it. And Moshe Rabbeinu said it many, many times. You have to be Kovei Shalem. There's a rock Chazak ve'amatz. The Iker is through the Torah. But we can't forget that Chazak ve'amatz, I believe, is also an essential element of it. Okay. Have a good game.